get in the coracle. A coracle were small boats that Irish people used to use about 1,000 years ago. They were round and usually would fit 2 people. They used these small boats to go fishing and to move from place to place. They were very light and they were very easy to carry. Generally, they have paddles to be able to row and to move the boat around. Early Christian Irish people started using this concept of coracles, but instead of building a small boat for 2 people, they started building larger coracles that would hold up to 15 people. And they would use this not only to fish and to travel from one island to another, but they would use this to actually go out to sea and to explore, and they used this as part of their missionary efforts. You see, they would get 15 people, and these 15 people beforehand, they would be praying, they're fasting, and when the time was right, all 15 would get into this little boat, this coracle, that didn't have internet, that didn't have electricity, that didn't have space for a bathroom. And all 15 people got into that coracle, and they left outside of that boat one particular item. They didn't bring rows. They didn't bring oars or paddles. They only had a sail. And the reason was because they believed that God wanted to use them to reach the continent of Europe for Christ. And in order to know what God wanted them to do, they will get into this boat, put up the sail, and say, "Lord, lead us where you want us to go. And whatever it is that the boat arrives to, we're going to get out and we're going to preach the gospel." Now, this sounds like a great story, something really cool, but think about it. Getting into a boat, not knowing where it's going, how long is it going to take to get there, not knowing if you're carrying enough food or what is going to happen once you get there, not knowing how you're going to get back. But for some reason, these early Christian Irish people, they chose to trust God. They chose to be led by the Spirit, and they got into these boats, and that way they actually evangelized or re-evangelized Europe. In one of these adventures, a bunch of Christians got into one of these coracles, and they traveled all the way down from Ireland to the southern tip of the United Kingdom, a place called Cornwall. And the story goes, history tells us, that when the king heard about these strangers that arrived in this boat, he went out to meet them. And when he realized that their boat didn't have oars, and when he heard the story on how these people, these believers, trusted the Lord so much that they were willing to risk their own lives for the sake of the kingdom, for the salvation of other people, this king was inspired. And history tells us that he became a believer because he believed in the God that brought those missionaries to his land. He was able to believe in the God that cared for those missionaries, that led those missionaries. He saw the power of God in their lives, and that inspired him and his people to give their lives to God. I believe that tonight, the same God that these early Christian Irish people trusted is asking you and I to get in the coracle, to trust the Holy Spirit, to trust the Lord. The Lord is asking you to let Him lead you. Are you willing to pull your rudder and even to throw away your oars and let the wind of the Spirit lead you? Are you willing to let the Lord lead you? You see, our Christian life should be viewed as a journey. It's not just coming to church and saying some prayers and saying some things or doing some things. No, no, no. The Christian life is a journey. It's a progression. We're always learning. We're always growing. We're always seeking. And there's always an opportunity for transformation. The Christian life should not be safe. The Christian life should not be boring. It's everything but boring because God has a plan, but we need to be able to trust in God enough to be able to get in the coracle and say, I will trust God. I will trust the future that He has for my life. I may not know what it is. I may not know where God is leading me, but God is in control. He is mighty. He is powerful. And I'm choosing to be led by Him. That's exactly what happened in a verse in Scripture that all of us have read a million times, at least some of us. Acts chapter 1, verses 4 through 8. Jesus already rose from the dead. Let me explain before we read it. Jesus rose from the dead, hasn't ascended to heaven yet, and He's having this conversation with His disciples after the resurrection while they were eating. On one occasion, while Jesus was eating with His disciples, He gave them this command. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Then they gather around Him and ask Him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? And Jesus said to the disciples, it is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by His own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Now, I know that we've all heard this story in one way or another, that Jesus told His disciples, just wait in Jerusalem. Go to the upper room. Stay there because I am going to give you power. I am going to give you power to be my witnesses. I am going to give you power to do what I've called you to do. And we know what happened. A few days later, actually, several days later, they received the power of the Holy Spirit and they spoke in other tongues, and Peter stood up and preached the gospel, and about 3,000 people received Christ in one day. We know the story, but the disciples, when they were hearing Jesus, they didn't know. Jesus didn't give them details. He said, wait in Jerusalem, for at some point, something that it's called the baptism in the Holy Spirit is going to happen, and you're going to receive power. Jesus could not have been more vague. He was saying, just stay in the capital and stay there because something is going to happen at some point in time. You don't know what it is. You don't know when it's going to happen, but something is going to happen, and when that thing happens, you know that that thing happened. And when it happens, even though you don't know when it's going to happen, then you're going to leave because it happened, and you're going to be my witnesses. What? That doesn't make sense. He's not giving us details. What is God doing? What was Jesus doing? Jesus is inviting His disciples. I believe that Jesus is inviting us to this adventure. He's saying, I am going to give you a general direction. I am going to tell you kind of what I'm going to do, but I'm not going to give you the details because it will be too boring. I'm not going to give you the details because you may be frustrated or scared if I gave you the details. I want you to trust me that I have your best interest in my heart and that I will lead you to the place that you need to be. So He's saying, trust me, guys. Just stay there. You'll know. God wants to re-energize us. He wants to renew us in 2020. This year should not be the same as last year. This is the year that we choose to be led by the Holy Spirit. Following Jesus is a journey. Following Jesus demands movement. It demands change, action. It requires courage. You see, any journey involves some risk, some adventure. I remember one time that I was flying from Puerto Rico back to Chicago. And I have this gift of the Spirit that I can fall asleep in airplanes really quick. So I remember sitting down on my chair, closed my eyes, and I was out. At some point, I wake up and I hear the flight attendant giving an announcement. So I'm thinking, oh, so we're finally going to, you know, go on the plane or whatever. I thought that we hadn't left yet. But when I start paying attention, she's saying, oh, we have a mechanical malfunction and one of our engines actually shut off. And we're in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean and we have to turn back to San Juan. So I have never prayed more in my entire life. Journeys are adventures. And the Christian life is a journey. So the Christian life is an adventure. Pastor Tom said something earlier that I think that is very important. We don't know what's going to happen next year. Maybe this year. This year may be a great year. It may bring a lot of blessings. It may bring a lot of challenges. But that's part of the adventure. That if we are trusting God, that if we're following the lead of the Lord in the midst of everything that happens, the Lord is guiding our coracle. The Lord is guiding our lives and is guiding our movements. And He's leading us to a place where we're going to be able to experience fulfillment, happiness, and rest. But you will not be able to truly experience the rest of the Lord. You will never be able to truly experience fulfillment unless you let the Lord lead you. You have to move outside your comfort zones and head into the unknown. My friend, God is calling you to move out with Him. You may not know the details of what God is doing, but this doesn't mean that you can be excused from moving. You see, too many of us have decided to stay inland. Too many of us have avoided to take that step of letting the Holy Spirit lead us. While the Spirit wants to take us on a ride. You see, we tend to prefer the known over the unknown. How much more comfortable it is to play it safe. Isn't it nice to do what we've always done? I'm guilty of this. I park in the same parking spot every Sunday. Don't laugh, you do too. Okay. It is so comfortable to play it safe. But what are we missing when we do? We will never reach a new place in the Lord. We will never achieve new goals. We will never be the person that God wants us to be if we don't hop and trust God and say, Lord, lead my boat, lead my coracle, lead my life wherever you want me to go, whatever you want me to do. There's a theologian named George MacLeod, and he said this, Christ is a person to be trusted, not a principle to be tested. The church is movement, not a meeting house. The faith is an experience, not an exposition. Christians are explorers, not map makers. It is a present experience made possible at Bethlehem, offered at Calvary, and communicated at Pentecost. If Daniel had not continued to pray instead to God, instead of praying to King Darius, he would not have seen the miracle of the lion's den. If Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had not refused to bow down to the golden image, they would not have been saved from the fiery furnace. If Queen Esther had not risked her life entering into the presence of the king, her people would not have been saved. All these men and women of God in Scripture were able to experience the miracle working power of God because they were willing to take a risk, because they were willing to trust the lead of the Lord. And when they did, God did what they couldn't do. Whether the wind of God is particularly active or not, as we trust God, as we wait on Him, God renews our strength so that we can continue our journey. As we trust God, even if we don't understand everything that is going on, God is filling our hearts with faith. God is strengthening us and preparing us for that calling that He has placed on our lives. God is our pilot, and He wants to decide. God wants to decide where we go, when we go, and how we go. When we rely on God and obey His plans, ways, and timing, He renews and revitalizes us. A good friend of mine, Dr. Caroline Tennant, wrote a book that's called Catch the Wind of the Spirit. And this is a quote from that book. To be Christian means to be a person who is on the way, a church that is on the move. There is never a sense of arrival, but rather a process of being, becoming, changing, and overcoming. She continues to say, we are meant to be the ongoing presence of God in the world through union with Christ and the power of God. Of the Spirit. Following Jesus was an exciting activity in Bible times, and it's still today. Jesus was and is cross-cultural, countercultural, and surprising. If we are able to understand that God is powerful and that His plans are so much greater that we cannot understand, if we're able just to trust that He wants to do something amazing with us in this year that is beyond our comprehension, if we're able to say, Lord, I trust You. I want You to lead me. I can guarantee you that 2020 is going to be an amazing year. Not because it's going to be perfect, but because you're going to experience the power of God at work in your life. Jesus wants us to experience the thrill of following Him and growing into His likeness. How can we follow Jesus? How can we grow in the likeness of Jesus? Through prayer. Through prayer, we learn to trust God. Through prayer, we learn how to live like God. Through prayer, we grow closer to Him. Prayer is the coracle. Prayer is the coracle, and God will lead us as long as we jump into the coracle, as long as we pray. Otherwise, we will make the mistake of confusing our desire to change for the will of God. Or we'll confuse our desire for things to remain the same for the will of God. But when we're praying, the Spirit leads our lives. And He lets us know, hey, a change is coming. Or hey, you need to stand firm and hold on. It is through prayer that we catch the wind of the Holy Spirit. It is through prayer that we can follow the lead of the Lord. It is through prayer that we align with God's plan. An old Yiddish proverb says, if you want to make God laugh, tell him your plans. God laughs with a lot of us a lot. You know, rather than telling God all about our plans and asking him to bless them, what if we take the time to listen for his plans? What if we said, Lord, lead me. Before I make the decision, lead me. Isaiah 55, verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. We will never fully understand God's plan, but we will be able to align ourselves with the plan of God if we spend time with the Lord in prayer. Now, when we speak about prayer, some of us have a very negative view of it. Because every time that you try to pray, you fall asleep. Can I get an amen? You can't sleep at night. You say, well, I'm going to pray, and you fall soundly asleep. And at times it's because we approach prayer with a pattern, and the pattern that we're using doesn't work. Can I be honest with you? I cannot pray kneeling. I fall asleep. So if you ever see me kneeling, praying, wake me up. I'm not praying, because that doesn't work for me. You know how I pray good? Walking. If I'm walking, I can pray, because it keeps me awake and it keeps me focused and concentrated. I know that prayer is important. I know that prayer is the only way that I can get into the coracle and allow the Spirit to lead my life. So I'm going to pray in a way that works for me. If praying in the morning doesn't work for you, pray at night. If praying with your eyes closed doesn't help because you fall asleep, then pray with your eyes open. By the way, Jesus prayed with his eyes open. Read the Gospels. Right? And if you want to close your eyes, as long as you're not driving, go ahead. But just make sure that you pray in a way that works for you. That's why we're opening the doors of the church this week, and we're having these different formats every night, because we want you to be able to start the year right. We want you to start the year saying, Lord, lead me. Lead my life. I'm going to get in the coracle. I'm not going to have any oars. I'm not going to do anything. I'm just going to put up the sail, and I'm going to wait for the Holy Spirit to move me. God doesn't ask us to devise our own plans and then implement our plans for his glory. God is inviting us to get into the coracle with him and hold on tight, because it's going to be a fun ride. The Lord is asking us, will you let me lead you? Tonight, the Lord is asking you to set sail again, to trust him. Are you willing? Are you willing to throw your oars away and let the wind of the Spirit blow through your sails? Get in the coracle with the Lord and let him lead you. Let the Lord lead you. For the next few minutes, I want to invite you to do something. Would you stand with me? Can we take tonight as the start of a week of prayer? And can we start our week of prayer saying, Lord, lead me as a person, lead us as a family, lead us as a church. Can we start tonight our week of prayer and say, Lord, may the wind of your spirit lead us where we need to go. Will you take us to the places that we need to be? Will you use us for your glory? May people around us be blessed because you are leading us. Could we take tonight as the night that we say, Lord, 2020 is going to be different. 2020 is going to be the year that we choose to trust you no matter what. And we're going to believe that you are going to surprise us. If that is you, if you want to start your year like I've just described, I would like to invite you to come to this altar. And let's start talking to the Lord. And say to the Lord, Lord, lead me. I'm willing to follow.